We've got a special guest here covering the Big 12 Media Days for Inside Texas, a voice you hear on all of the shows, all of the programming on the Horn very often throughout football season. He's also a big-time Texas baseball fan, covers the game extremely well for IT, a graduate of the University of Texas. He is our friend Joe Cook in the house. Joe, what's going on, man?
Not a lot. Just glad to be here. And I don't think I've done this live with y'all before. It's always been over the phone.
That's right.
Yeah, you've been live with Chad and Kevin on at least one occasion out at Horn Bash, but it's good to have you in person right now. How many of these Big 12 Media Days have you actually covered now?
So this will be my third.
Okay.
The first one I did was at the Omni downtown, mm-hmm. Charlie Strong's last one. Second one was here last year, the first one for Herman, and now third one here this year before they go to Jerry World next year, they announced today. So that's going to be interesting.
Wow.
And instead of seeing Cliff Kingsbury on the Ford Center Jumbotron like we now have now, you'll have it on that giant.
Oh, array. My gosh. He's going to look so beautiful on that screen.
If he's here next year.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Almost wish Charlie Weiss was still coaching at Kansas. Oh. You can see that dude on the he would take up the entire screen itself.
I don't know if the screen is wide enough.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. All right, Joe, so some storylines for you. Of course, Texas isn't going today. The Longhorns will be here tomorrow. I'm glad Justin got that on film, me knocking off my headphones right there. But the Longhorns will go tomorrow. Tom Herman is here. A couple of members of the Texas football team are in the house tomorrow as well. What are some of the storylines, things that you're looking to hear, looking to see from Texas football tomorrow?
I think one of the things I want to know is with one of the players he brought, Andrew Beck. This will be his return year because last year he got his foot messed up during fall camp, couldn't play at all, went through his redshirt year, and is now back as a fifth-year senior returning from injury. I want to know how he has handled coming back, going through all, you know, we always hear about going through adversity, very common coaching trope, but this is an actual case of it where he thought he was going to be done after last year and maybe going on with his life in the real world, and now he's here playing tight end in a very important position in the offense. So I want to know what he's doing as far as getting ready for this season, getting ready for an expanded role in the offense like they want him to have. And then, of course, Tom Herman, just year two. I mean, this is a time when you think that he's going to be able to show some even more progress. I think a lot of people were disappointed last year with the amount of wins. Obviously, they thought there were more wins on that roster than what he got out of it. And so it's time for him to be able to put up in this league, especially when some of the other members are down. The Heisman Trophy winner's gone. A couple other drafted quarterbacks are gone. So this is an opportunity for him to come back and show he's got a plan in order to succeed more in this league this year.
Speaking on Andrew Beck in that tight end position, are we as Texas fans about to be satisfied with that position for the first time in forever, considering what is going on at that position depth-wise right now?
I think so. I mean, Chris Warren isn't playing there like he was forced to do last year, kind of against his will. Not against his will, but against what he wanted to do. And now you've got guys who want to play that position. You've got not only you have Beck, you have Cade Brewer, who should be ready in time for the first game at a healthy level. And he's a guy that, even as a freshman, showed a capability to block and score big points like he did against USC. You have Reese Lateo, who, you know, had those pre-enrollment issues, but since then you haven't heard his name once. Part of that's because he redshirted, but part of that's because he's done everything he needed to do.
Apparently been a model student, too.
Right, and so tight end has now gone from a position of a lot of questions of do we have enough players to now the question is how are these players going to do? And while that's not the ideal situation, it's much better than when Chris Warren was taking those snaps.
Joe, one of the guys who will be here tomorrow representing Texas is Patrick Vahe, senior offensive lineman. He's had some flashes of brilliance his freshman year. He got kind of thrown into the starting role as the left guard for this team, did great, and a lot of people thought, okay, eventually Pat Vahe is going to progress into an all-conference, perhaps all-American type player. That's how good we thought this dude was going to be. It hasn't quite been the case. What type of year do you expect from him and, I guess, the rest of the offensive line for Texas in 2018?
I think that there's enough talent kind of at those interior positions at guard and center to where if he holds on to his job, that means he had a good year. You've got guys like Patrick Hudson ready to come back, Elijah Rodriguez, even possibly Derek Kerstetter, who played right tackle really well last year, could probably see some time inside, and JUCO transfer Mikey Grandy. So if he obviously being here means that Tom Herman has high expectations for him. He's a great interview and a guy that he just knows how to handle the media. He'll give short answers when it's funny to him, and if you get him to explain stuff, he can explain things really well. If he holds on to his starting job throughout most of the year, which he struggled to do last year and struggled to do the year prior, that means he had a great year and that he probably performed to a level that Herb Hand could utilize and make sure that everything went great.
And it's definitely going to help having Calvin Anderson next to him as well, much like his freshman and even his sophomore year to a degree where he had Connor Williams next to him. Mm-hmm. Having good tackle play next to you and even more consistent center play helps make your job a little bit easier as well.
Yeah, and like you mentioned with center play, Zach Shackle kind of seems to be the guy, but I think everybody noticed on every single shotgun snap last year that Shane Buechele and Sam Ehlinger were reaching for their shoelaces way too often.
Yep, yep.
And obviously that's probably been addressed this offseason, but during the fall or during spring practices, you saw a lot of different guys rotate through at center. You saw Kerstetter, Elijah Rodriguez took some snaps there, and he's a guy that can go up and down the line. After, you know, he played tackle in the bowl game and played mostly interior during spring practice, we were able to see.
Joe, Trey and I are on the opposite end of the spectrum here. This is kind of, at least it feels like, a very open Big 12 race in 2018. Oklahoma, of course, has won this league 3 years in a row, but they're losing Baker Mayfield and a lot of talent on both sides of the football. The media and Vegas and myself still peg Oklahoma as the favorites in this conference. Trey, on the other hand, he doesn't even think Oklahoma is going to be in the Big 12 championship game. So Trey doesn't even see Oklahoma as a top two team in this conference. For you personally, is OU the prohibitive favorite in the Big 12 this year? Or because of all the questions they have to answer, is there somebody else who kind of supplants them in your opinion?
Losing Baker Mayfield is big, but you've also still got Lincoln Riley, who by pretty much all accounts is an offensive genius at this point. What he's been able to do up there in the past couple of years with Baker has been just phenomenal. And while he's still at the helm running that offense, it's hard for me to pick against them. Their defense is their biggest question. They have great athletes on that side of the ball, but the coaching acumen of the left-behind Stoops brother is kind of a big question that they always have to ask. But I think if y'all saw a graphic today, West Virginia has, I think, like six transfers that they brought in because they want to win this year.
Yep.
They have Will Greer. They got Sills, like you mentioned earlier, like the Mountaineer mentioned earlier. And, I mean, that's a team that if they are going to win, this is the year that they should do it. I think Texas, there's obviously like a top group of West Virginia, TCU, and Oklahoma going into this year. And I think Texas is probably right under that top group with a great chance, depending on how the season goes, to punch into that top group. And just kind of depends on where some of the other sides of the ball go for those teams, because TCU is going to have a great defense. They got to replace a lot at quarterback. Losing Kenny Hill, they have Sean Robinson, who's talented but unproven. Gary Patterson mentioned that they have an offensive line that's a lot of green guys on that offensive line. OU defense is always going to be a question, and then West Virginia offense is obviously never a question. Defense is going to be their question again. So if those three teams can strengthen the side of the ball that is usually their weakness, it's going to be tough for Texas to break through into that top group, I believe.
Now, Tom Herman and the players are talking tomorrow. We talked about that a little bit earlier in this interview. If you could ask Tom Herman one question tomorrow, what's it going to be?
Obvious question is who's going to be quarterback, but he's not going to give that answer.
Right.
I mean, none of these coaches are ever going to give that answer. I think the question I would have to ask is, do you believe that going against your defense, the strong, you know, 3-2-6 lightning package defense, that they're going to run so much this year helps them in the long run on offense? Because if you're a quarterback, whether it be Shane Buechele or Sam Ehlinger, who has some sense of success in practice against this defense that X's and O's wise is one of the best things that this conference has innovated defensively in a while, that's got to be a little bit of a confidence boost. So I think if he is able to say that, yes, this offense moves the ball against this defense, it's kind of what we've talked about a lot. That means offensive line's doing well, which gives time to the quarterbacks, which means running backs have room to run, and wide receivers have time to run routes. So success against your own team, while it's kind of one of those, like, you know, we're always ready to fight somebody else, we want to play somebody in a different colored uniform. Well, you can't do that for another month. So if you have success against your own team this early, I'd take that as a good sign.
Joe, one of the guys here representing Texas is Breckenhager on defense, and that is a dude who has – I don't even think there was that much hype surrounding Breckenhager when he got to the 40 Acres. Of course, the family name holds a lot of weight with what his dad accomplished here at UT in the past, but, you know, not a highly touted recruit by any stretch. A guy who plays the same position on the other side of the defensive line as Breckenhager is Charles Minnehue. Mm-hmm. And that's a guy who had, I mean, he had an NFL body coming out of high school. Mm-hmm. And a guy who's had expectations lumped on him pretty much from day one since he got to the 40 acres. And we've seen flashes of greatness from Charles Minnehue, but he's not here right now. He's not on the preseason All Big 12 list. And it seems like at this point in his career, we should have seen more from Minnehue. Do you think this is finally the year that Charles Minnehue makes a big-time name for himself and instills fear into the offensive coordinators for some of these Big 12 teams?
Definitely. I mean, y'all see him a lot on a day-to-day basis. I know he was listed at – I know I remember hearing y'all's conversation about him being listed at 375, and y'all quickly squashed that and said, no, it's 277. But I think he definitely has to have a big year. Freshman year, he was kind of thrown in way too early because he had the capability of an NFL body, but when he got to Texas, it was 50 pounds lighter than what he's at now. Mm-hmm. He was thrown into a position, kind of the stand-up, off-the-edge. Charlie Strong's defense called it the Fox. And that was never going to be his long-term projection. It was what he was playing then. So not only did he have to change positions over his freshman to sophomore year, he just had to also grow into that body. And now he's finally got experience at the position he's going to play at, and he's grown fully into that 277-pound body now. So I think he's also motivated. Coming back for your senior year, you know that this is your contract year. Kind of like in baseball, if you leave after your junior year, you have leverage. If not, you don't have leverage signing as a senior. So he knows he has to prove this year that he's got the NFL capability, and I think he's got the mindset to do it, but he's got to show it on the field.
You know, it's interesting because I've talked with Charles about him playing as a freshman and him not having the luxury to really redshirt that first year, and he admits, although he's somebody who had no problem playing as a freshman, that it would have done him better to redshirt that first year to be able to add the weight, to get acclimated to the college lifestyle, and then really hit the ground running as a redshirt freshman that following year. Again, not complaining that he got the playing time he did his freshman year. Things happen the way that they do, but he also says that guys coming in now on this current team, specifically on the defensive line and elsewhere, do have that luxury if they want it because there is a little bit better depth. Despite that, it sounds like we may see a couple of true freshmen playing on this defensive line this year, at least as a depth type guys, if nothing else, to start the year, right?
Yeah, I think two of the guys who have the most highest probability of playing are Moro Ojomo and Keandre Coburn, number 98 and 99. Ojomo is a guy that late in the cycle didn't sign early, and a lot of people kind of were not familiar with him until he had a big senior year at Katy. He might end up being the best defensive lineman that they signed, despite the fact that he was not signed early. He blew up late, but people figured out who he was and saw, okay, this may be the gem of the class. Keandre Coburn, it's great that Chris Nelson's here. There were some questions whether he would be here or in a Texas uniform this year. And so getting Keandre Coburn, who has the ability to play the nose, have depth at that nose tackle position, was a big deal. But now that you've got him back, he may still see some playing time because after Nelson, it's kind of unclear who's going to take that spot because Nelson was second to Ford last year. So Coburn has the opportunity to play this year. How much he'll be asked to do, probably not a whole lot, but, I mean, it's good that he's still here and working at Texas.
Joe, thank you very much for the time. May get you on again before it's all said and done to get your thoughts on what was said at the Texas press conference tomorrow. I think that happens around 11:30. We are planning on carrying that here on the Horn. Definitely going to talk to Justin after that. May get your thoughts for a few minutes as well. But thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, brother. Good stuff right there. Joe Cook in the house inside Texas. Follow what they do. Go to InsideTexas.com and make it happen.